He pardoned my transgressions, He sanctified my soul. He honors my confessions, since by His blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. Are you hearing the words of that? Do you believe it's truly wonderful what God has done? It is. And now we're going to sing it with a little more oomph to it, okay? On the second verse. He keeps me every moment by trusting in His grace. 'Tis through His blessed atonement that I may see His face. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. He brings me through affliction. He leaves me not alone. He's with me in temptation. He keeps me for His own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. He prospers and protects me. His blessings ever flow. He fills me with His glory. He makes me white as snow. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. Well, He keeps me firm and faithful. His love I do enjoy. For this I shall be grateful and live in His employ. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. Now let me ask you something. Does anybody remember us singing that song lately? You do? The last time I led singing, I sang that song. There's a reason for it, because it's truly wonderful what God has done, not just to us personally, but to this church. It is truly wonderful. We got one more verse to show Him how grateful we are. There's not a single blessing which we receive on earth that does not come from heaven, the source of our new birth. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name. Amen. Remain standing, if you would. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, you might make that now. Stacy? Yeah, keep those in mind. And Stacy's dad, you didn't mention your dad. Oh, you did? Kind of fast. That was fast. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. It's good. Okay, Marty. Okay, let's thank the Lord for this time of the service. Okay, Tom, would you bless this?
Father, it truly is wonderful all that you've done.
Yes, Lord, it is so wonderful what you've done for us, what you're doing to us. Lord, it's great.
We have
You're a great God who does great things. And we want to praise you for it all. You're just so, so good to us, Lord. Amen.
Fired this morning. I don't know how you all felt, but the message was wonderful. It's wonderful. My heart's been weary. My soul's been dry. And now I'm desperate for the water. I've been so empty, just getting by. And now I'm desperate for the water. Oh, how I need the river. How I need the healing stream. Oh, I'm running to the river. Gonna let it wash all over me. I'm tired of drinking from bitter wells. Now I am desperate for the water. Too many deserts I've walked by myself. Now I am desperate for the water. Lord, you're my water. Oh, how
the river.
say. That's a great song for the service we had this morning, wasn't it? Let the fountain come on out and wash all over me. Yeah. I got something to ask y'all. Would y'all like to have Amy do a complete service between now and Christmas sometime? A whole Sunday morning, just have the whole thing. I'm ready for it, ain't you? Okay, Amy. We're going to get a date. A date for you. What'd she say? November? October? Okay. So I'd already planned it without saying anything to you. Okay. I got to get my notes. October 15th. I let it out of the box, didn't I? Okay, I've let a lot of things out of the box over the years. Have y'all? Say yes, Lacey. I know you have. Right. Say amen, Dustin. Yeah. Yeah, and I have another group coming in November that I think you'll enjoy also. They've been here, and the church just loved them. No Name But His. You remember No Name But His? Act like you do. Okay. Thank you, Helen. Yeah, I love to hear them sing. Love the spirit of the group. I'm not a groups kind of guy, and you know, just have groups just to have groups at a church. I'm not. If I hear a group and I feel the spirit of that group and know their lives and things, you know, it's good for me. So, October 15th. Don't forget that. Put it on your calendar. Make sure you go and invite all your friends and neighbors, and let's come in here and have a good time. What do you say? And then the second, have I already told you, Stacy, when No Name But His is coming? I think it's the third week in November. Try it before Thanksgiving. When's that? I had them to come because I wanted to make it a Thanksgiving service. So, huh? You got it. I like people when they have their calendars right handy. Okay, this morning was very good. Amen. It was a good spirit. There was my heart hurt for a specific reason this morning. And I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about anybody who needs the Lord, who needs to come back from forsaking God and quit building the cistern and get back where they need to be. But this one person I want you to pray about. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is going to be a little unusual message in that I'm going to go through a lot of things that are going to happen in the last days. I know you know them all. I know you've read it all your life. I know that you've heard it preached on, you've heard it taught on, you've read it yourself, you probably preached to yourself. But maybe, just maybe, we have forgotten some of the things that are happening. And what happens is things change so quickly in this world that we live in that some things you didn't notice last year or 3 years ago are prevailing in your life now or in around you that you've noticed. So we're going to go back through them, and we're going to see the things that will be happening or are happening in the last days. If you believe we're in the last days, say yes. We are.
We are. Of course, we know that according to the Bible, the last day started a long time ago. But for us, the way we are seeing things happening so quickly, we have to believe that the Lord is soon to come. That day is soon to be here. So let's read this again as you have read it before. The words haven't changed. I still have the King James Version, and it still reads the same as it did the last time I read it. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, he mentioned perilous times by itself in that verse. The other verses have quite a few involved in them, but he mentioned perilous times. I think we can relate to that, first of all, that we live in a time now that is perilous. It is. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is why he says perilous times will be there, is because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, still more to come, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Now, this is not the incontinence that you would go to the doctor about. This is your personal life. Means similar, but it's your own life. Just means uncontrollable, not in control. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, we're going to recognize these one by one. And the reason for recognizing these is not if you can say you see it in other people. Make sure that when we go through these, you have to understand that some of these could be in your own personal life. So we have to check there first, because we've got to deal with us. And if you see it coming in around the world, just know that the end time is soon to come. It's soon to be here, okay? Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Lord, we're grateful for everything you've done already today, and we're thankful that you're going to remind us again of how things are in the last days. And we're so thankful tonight that we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't matter when you come, we're ready. It doesn't matter what this old world does, we're ready. And Lord, we thank you for that. We have the confidence in you that what you said when we accepted your Son as our Savior is true today as it was then. We're just so thankful. And we praise you for everything. And Lord, we pray this prayer for all those that we mentioned for prayer request earlier. I just want to bring them all back to you in a bundle and let you sort through each one. And we want to see your answer, Lord. We want to glorify you. Whatever the answer is, we accept it. We want your will to be done. And so we're just going to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We used a word this morning that nobody likes to hear, that it could possibly be you, or that it could possibly be one of your friends or one of your family members. But the truth is, in reality, it could be. The word is evil. When he said that you have committed two evils this morning, it takes an evil person to commit an evil act.
And here he's talking about the evil in the visible church, not necessarily the evil that you will see outside the church walls or outside the church itself. We're not talking about the church of the living God. We're talking about the church that we have here, the visible church, Liberty Fellowship buildings and lots. It's what we're talking about. And every church around, they're everywhere. We got churches everywhere. And inside these visible churches, we have things that are not right going on, and it's because it is the last days. Sinfulness of human self-will is evil. Let me say that again. Sinfulness of human self-will, that's evil. It can't be anything of God if it's of us. If it's our will, it's not God's will. If it's unrestrained, evil is unrestrained, by the way. If you don't think so, even the world itself, when they create a horror movie and they use evil things happening inside of it, they're never in control. Nobody ever controls them. Have you ever noticed that? Scares you to death, don't it? That evil things can not be under anybody's control. You can't do anything about it. It's going to happen anyway. Well, that's evil. That's evil. But what they portray is in a movie. What he's saying here is a real thing. Evil is unrestrained expression in your thoughts, in your words, and in your deeds. That's evil. Amen? Think about it, and you'll see that it is. The practice of reverence, some things that have bothered me in the last few years is the practice of reverence inside the church. I've seen the reverence inside the church slipping over the last few years. A few years could have been 10 years ago, but 5 years ago or 3 years ago. But I can see that reverence is not what it used to be. Gratitude for what God has done for us is not what it used to be. We used to be so thankful for what God has done and what he continues to do. Our love for mankind is not what it used to be. In our earlier Christian years, we probably would have genuinely loved mankind more than we do today. Because there's so many things that divide man now, and we've kind of fallen into all the different grooves that this old world has laid out for us. And I don't know if there's a lot of love for mankind like there used to be. If there was, we would probably see more Christians winning the lost. If we had more of a love for mankind, and know the reason why we need to be winning the lost, we'd probably be winning more people. Right. The keeping of vows is not what it used to be. I heard some really huge rates of divorce now as opposed to what it was 10, 15 years ago. It just keeps going up and up. And they say the reason is that there's no reason to stay in it if you don't love them. There's no reason to be there if everybody's miserable. Well, goodness gracious, I've been miserable a whole lot in my life. Yeah, say amen, yeah. Yeah, there's been miserable days in your life. Lynn told me so, Linda. I like Linda. Miserable. But isn't that a poor reason for just bailing out? I'm just not happy. I'm miserable. Can't you do something else about it? Get right with God. If both people gets right with God, ain't nothing you can't fix up. I'm telling you. God can do it through us. But if that's not where you want to go, then that probably won't happen. But these kind of things where we used to be, have these things in our life, and vows meant something, and gratitude and reverence and all those things that we used to have as a thing of value, they tend to be ceasing in the church and dwindling away, and I hate to see that. But men have become more diabolical. That comes into that word evil that we talked about, because diabolical just simply means it has the characteristics of the devil in it. I know you probably have called some people, well, that devil, you know, well, he or she is not the devil, but they may have been acting like you think the devil would be, you know, with the attitudes and everything. But diabolical is not a, I would never call anybody diabolical, would you? I don't think I've ever done that, but people are becoming more diabolical, and there are reasons for it. The reasons all come together. All these separate things that I mentioned a few minutes ago, they eventually become a bundle. You become bundled. That's something that Charter did to me one time. They bundled me. I had a phone, internet, and TV and all that stuff, and it was supposed to be really good to be bundled, and I would save money if I did. But when my internet went out, so did the rest of it. So being bundled didn't do me very much good at that time. I just thought it was funny that they said all that bundled stuff. Well, all this stuff becomes bundled together, and one actually plays on the other. So men have become diabolical because of the reason I just mentioned a few minutes ago. Man is uncontrolled. I mean, even, and I can't get into all the things that are happening in our country, but don't you see that on the news? I just saw this today. Could I tell you another one that just irked me, and they know it's happening, and they don't seem to do anything about it? A person goes to the ATM at the bank. Somebody's sitting over in the parking lot watching the ATM. Somebody gets a bunch of money out of the ATM. They follow the person home, park their car at the driveway so the person can't get away, go up and hold a gun at the window and make them give them the money. Now, the one they showed on TV was an old man. You might do that to a nice young lady. You're probably not going to do that to an older man. They banged on the window with the gun. Did y'all see that? They banged on the window with the gun. Well, he bangs on the window back at him. Yeah, but what he had done, which was really good, he backed in his driveway instead of pulling into his driveway. So what he did was, after they'd banged around and tried to break the window and pointed the gun at him and everything, there was three of them. He gets that thing in D, and he takes off right between their car, the curb, and another vehicle road. He's gone, and they're standing there with their guns drawn, wondering what happened to the money. They didn't get it. But I just told you that because we live in an uncontrolled society. We're wanting to get rid of those people who can control the society until you need them yourself. And it's a crazy place. I call this world we live in now, it'll all work in here. I call this place Twilight Zone. We live in the Twilight Zone. I don't know where all this thinking that they make these rules and regulations and laws, where in the world they get that? Well, they got it in the Twilight Zone because it doesn't make sense. But that's where we are. This world is uncontrolled. God is the only person who can come back and put it back, because it's been too long out of control. And God's the only one who will come back one day, and he'll put it all together, and we'll have some control. Violence is everywhere. If you're good, look to be hated, because this old world doesn't hate anything that's good. I'll guarantee you, at your work, your workplace, the employees in the work, your family, some of your family members, your neighbors, if you're showing Christian elements in your life, don't look to be accepted and loved except by those who know the Lord themselves. Amen. And you'll see it. But let's go back to the individual parts here and just take a look at them and see if you recognize any of this in any of your friends and neighbors and countrymen. You see, it's much easier to recognize these things in someone else than it is us. Personally, right? Always is. It's always harder to recognize it in us. Well, here are some of them. Traitors. I don't know why I'm mentioning traitors first, but I'm mentioning traitors first. Now, you know what a traitor is. A traitor is a backstabber. The old East Tennessee phrase is a backstabber, a turncoat. That phrase come into play a long time ago, a turncoat. Now, this doesn't have to be just in individuals in your life. You may have had a traitor in your life in the last year or two, don't know. But if that's been the case, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. It's in the government. It's in businesses. It's in your own personal lives. It's everywhere. Traitors are everywhere because we're going to have, in the last days, there's going to be traitors, and it's going to be more visible than ever before. I don't remember 40 years ago, and I know some of you all aren't even 40 yet, but 40 years ago, it just didn't seem like there was as much of this scripture that was visible as it is today. That's just my take on it. There are more traitors today. There are more people who will stab you in the back. There are, because we live in an uncontrolled world, they're all into themselves and whatever pleases them. Us, whatever pleases us, I better put us in there or we're going to rule us out and have it all on somebody else, and that won't do us any good, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we have more of that going on among the humankind today. Then he says that they'll be heady. Now, heady only means that you're headstrong. Headstrong. Now, what's wrong with headstrong? Headstrong just simply means that nobody knows anything else but you. Jimmy liked that one. Nobody knows anything but you about whatever you know about. Now, I don't know about you, but I've run into a lot of people nowadays that nobody knows what they know. You're the heady person. You know it all, and nobody else knows anything. Heady and high-minded. Now, high-minded is sophisticated heady. Did I say that right? Huh? High-minded is sophisticated heady. That just means you're more intelligent than the rest of mankind. Any of y'all relate to that? What are y'all hiding your face for? Pam, look back to see who. Facebook Pam. Education becomes your source of power. Nothing wrong with education at all. Until you become high-minded. When you become high-minded, you're going to cut out a lot of people in your life, friends who could be very good friends, because you're high-minded. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of high-minded people. There's going to be a lot of heady people. And so if you see that on the uprise, just know that what he's talking about here is the last days. And lovers of pleasure, nothing wrong with pleasure whatsoever. We all love to play a game of some sort. We all love to watch a game of some sort, and it's a pleasure unless you're losing. It's a basketball game or baseball game or soccer or any of those things that, you know, provides us with pleasure. But of course, if you're not winning, then it's not a good thing. But lovers of pleasure, nothing wrong with it. Until it's like this. Lovers of pleasure. That's just about anything that will please you or us. And it will come between you and your Lord and your worship time. Now watch it and see if it doesn't. If it's a thing of pleasure and it gives you pleasure, when it comes between you and the Lord and your worship time, it becomes a wrong thing. And more, that's what's happening in the last days. God is left out, not completely, I'm not saying completely, but God is left out more and more every year. It gets to be more. What we've got to do is make sure that we stay faithful to God, and nothing that creates a pleasure for us will take place in our lives all the time. During the summer, you hardly see some folks in church because they're having more pleasure instead of in the house of God. That's just the way it is. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God says. It will involve your time. It'll take more of your time. Time is a valuable thing in our life, isn't it? We all get the same amount of time. I get 24 hours a day. How many of y'all get? The same. Yeah. So what do we do with our 24 hours? It's important what we do with them, because God gave us the 24 hours. Now, I try my dead level best to get 8 hours of sleep. Sometimes I'm not successful. Sometimes I get 7. Sometimes I get 6. Sometimes I get 5. But I try to get 8 because I think I need 8 for me to stay halfway healthy. So I go to bed earlier now. Used to, I wouldn't go to bed till 11 o'clock at night after the news went off. Now when it's 9 o'clock, I'm like my brother Tom and Dave. I'm heading toward the bed. Amen. Tom says that's too late for him. He can't get his 8 hours in that way. But lovers of pleasure, it takes up your time. It takes up the time instead of your Bible study or your prayer. If pleasure does that, it's not in the right place. If it keeps you from coming to a Sunday morning worship service, it keeps you from coming to a Sunday night or a Wednesday night worship service, then it's probably in the wrong place. Our priorities are not in the right place. If we have a revival here, and by the way, since I mentioned revival, Nick's going to be in revival over at the First Church starting next Sunday night. And I'd like for us to go over on Wednesday night. He doesn't want us there on Sunday night. Because that'll be his worst message. But he wants us to come over and support him on Wednesday night. Could we do that? I mean, we supported that one out there. We'll support you on Wednesday night, Brother Nick. Okay? We'll support the Lord, but we'll be there letting you know that we love you. Okay? But if we have prayer meeting and your pleasure comes between you and prayer meeting, if that's your reason for not going, is what I'm saying. If that's your reason for not going, then it's put in the wrong place and it needs to be reallocated a different space. Even social functions. I throw that in because it's important to the church on the first Sunday night of each month to have our birthday thing over here, and I love it. I love the sound of the kids. I love the sound of people talking. Put your phones away and we go over there and we have a good time, right? And we need to support that. If this is your church family, you support that. Social function is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. I think the Lord would agree with that. So, if we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of the Word of God in our lives, then we are wrong. Right? I believe we would all agree with that. So if we're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, our time, our Bible study, our prayer service, revivals, prayer meetings, social functions, having a form of godliness, you say, man, how long's that list? Well, hang on in just a second, okay? Because he says there will be truce breakers. It has nothing to do with wars, even though they were wrong in some of those things too. But what it means is that there'll be truce breakers. I don't know why I wrote this down. I just did. I'm hearing more and more of young people who are choosing not to have children so they can have more time for themselves. I'm not saying every woman needs to have children. Kay and I had four children, four wonderful children, some of them anyway. Susie and her husband had four children, and they were all wonderful children, right? And children are wonderful. I'm not saying that you should have children. I'm saying if your reason for not having children is so that you can have more time and pleasure just for yourself, you may be in the wrong game of this old world, because the Lord made a way for us to have a little boy or a little girl that we could raise up so that it could know what God means to it too. So I'm not for that. I'm just seeing a whole lot of that now. And so that tells me that there's something happening with our young generation coming up. They don't want to be bothered with children. Now, I know that some of you joke about it. Sherry and Susie get together and they joke about it all the time. Little Grace comes up and hugs Sherry, and she says, "What's she hugging me for?" Y'all know Little Grace. Little Grace is a hugger. That's the sweetest youngin' ever. She's got my vote for the sweetest youngin' ever. I'm sorry. She's a girl. We'll let that. I go to pick them up on Sunday morning, and she's standing at the door watching for my car to pull in the driveway. And she throws that door open and hollers my name and runs to me and just hugs me. But she does that to the people downstairs in Sunday school and nursery, wherever you are. She'll do that to you too. Get to know her. I'm telling you, this is not all about Gracie. But y'all know that Grace is a very special kid. She is. Linda agrees. Yeah. I don't know why they don't want to have children. I don't know why dogs and cats get more attention than your mate or your children, but that's the truth. They do. Don't let your dog get more attention than your children. Don't let your dog get more attention. I believe that's things that are happening that lets us know that something's happening to this world, that we're getting closer to the time when the Lord comes back. So there are truce breakers. Truce breakers are not so much one who breaks contracts, you know, but one who won't even make a contract. Would you agree? Yeah, there's always two different ways to look at something. And then there is this thing of, I could get on this and stay on it for a while, but I won't. I'll just mention it because it's what's happening in the last days. Homosexuality is rampant. And this is the world. Don't take this against any one particular person. It's Satan trying to rub it in the nose of the person who lives according to the Word of God. See, we don't live according to what we say. That's the whole thing. If the world wants to hate you, they'll hate you for a reason that's not even yours. It's God's. We live according to the Bible, so therefore the world doesn't hate you. They hate God. And they're having more and more of these homosexual parades. I keep looking in there to see if I see somebody I know. Haven't seen a one yet, but I've seen more than I want to see. Not only is it a parade of trucks like we would have a Thanksgiving parade or something like that. It's gaudy, awful, evil stuff, and they throw it in there just so you can see what happens. Why do they do that? They do that just same way people do it on TV. It draws more people in because more people want to see the awful stuff than they do good, clean stuff. Does that tell you anything about this world? Does that say anything to you about maybe it is the last days? Not just maybe, it is. And when you see them trying to make abortion right, when we know it's wrong, to take a baby, not a fetus, a baby, and kill it before it ever has a chance to open its little eyes and see this world that God's bringing it into. It's wrong, folks. I didn't come up with that. I wouldn't have known anything about it. I would have never thought about anybody killing a baby myself. I grew up that way. I got saved at an early age. My mom and dad raised me right, and I would have never thought anybody would do that. Now, they'll even take that baby at the time that it's going to be born. Is it getting worse? Are we in the last days? If we would kill a baby when it has all of its limbs and all of breathing, heart, Pam knows all about that. She worked in that. What has this society gone to? It's getting worse. And we're in the last days. That's why I said we are in the last days. Now, is this relevant to the message that we had this morning? Oh, yeah, it is. Man has made his own cisterns. He's drinking of evil, foul stuff. You see, the cistern don't have any life in it. It doesn't have any spiritual goodness from it. It's awful, stale, rotten stuff. And this world is drinking it all the time. And what you drink's what you're going to be. Fierce. But before fierce, let's get back to that one that made some of you smile a little bit, incontinent. Gina just smiled up a storm. But we know what we're talking. We're talking about uncontrolled people, because this is the whole deal. Uncontrolled means you're in control of what you want to do, but you're out of control about everything else, what God wants or what the rules and regulations are of living in a world with other people. So it simply means that you're out of control. You will freely indulge in your appetites. Freely indulge in your appetites. If you have an appetite for pornography, you will freely indulge yourself into that. Doesn't matter what God says about it. It's what you want to do and be. And that's what's going to happen. Does that say anything to you about the last days? Oh, it's the last days. And we don't want to take this lightly. This is not lightly. This is serious. God's on his way back, folks. He's on his way to come back and get his children and clean this place. This whole earth is going to burn. And he'll create a new one. But in the meantime, mankind is down here perverted, have perverted sex. That's sex without love. Just perverted. Men with men, women with women. Any kind of perverted type of sex, and it's everywhere. Susie and I were talking about this today. There was a ball game on, and one of the players was somebody who was gotten just a year or so ago for going to see massage therapists, and dozens of massage therapists. He come close to rape, and maybe even rape some of them, or and it was there because they took him out of the football league and fined him $5 million. I would think it would be a pretty good statement that he was guilty, but you see, the world will let you right back in if you'll make them money. That's the world. I'm just giving you the rules of the world. I'm not giving you gossip. It's not gossip. It's out there. All I want us to see is that we're in the last days, and the last days are not tomorrow. They're not next week. They're not next month. They're not next year. Crime is everywhere. Human life has become cheap. I saw that movie about the little kids being taken, and the people who take them don't care anything about them. It's all about the money. When the Lord said the love of money is the root of all evil, he said it's that way then, it's that way now. And drugs and the freedom of man, the heart and mind of man together equals anything can happen. So don't be amazed at the evil that's in this world. Don't be in shock when you read or hear something. Just say, it's the last days. Now, there's a test for you to see how your area of living is. The test is you do this. You let people know where you stand with the Lord. You let people know where you stand with the Lord and see if it changes how they are around you. It's a test. I think you'll see. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful. So grateful. Lord, we're thankful that you're soon to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want to see you come. But Lord, we want to try to win as many people as we possibly can to you so they can know what it's like to leave here saved. And we know that it's getting harder and harder to do that because the world is getting so much more evil and just simply don't want to have anything to do with it. But God, we know that you can soften a heart. We know you can. And Lord, help us to not lose heart in trying to win people to you. Help us to keep heart and know that there's a hope as long as we have a voice. And let us go out and tell this world where we stand with you. Then we'll know where we are in the last days. And we'll praise you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.